Welcome, all of you wine and true crime lovers. I'm Brandy.
And I'm Chris.
And this is Texas Wine and True Crime. Thank you for being here, friends, for this week's episode, The Solved Murder of Carol Joyce De Leon. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Brandy.
Welcome back to the studio.
Welcome back to the studio. Yes, just putting it all back together.
So I know.
Get this done.
We were in Jefferson last week. That was fun. Recorded live from there. Hope everyone got to catch that episode. And I can't wait to be back.
I know. It's going to be fun when we go back and visit. Lots of fun. Good spooky stories, as you had mentioned the previous episode.
Lots to tell. I was emailing with the owner of the Jefferson Hotel, and I want to have him on the show. So I think we're going to make that happen, honey.
Yep. Another little trip down there.
Be so fun. Okay, honey, we're going to start this episode with a giveaway.
Okay.
We have a giveaway to do, mostly for our Dallas friends, but if you will be in the area on Friday, May 26th, this event is for you. We are giving away two tickets to The Psychology of Serial Killers presented by Dr. Scott Bond at the Echo Lounge and Music Hall right here in Dallas. All you have to do to win is email us. Just email us, team, T-E-A-M, at TexasWineAndTrueCrime.com, and tell us why you want the tickets. We will pick a winner, honey, this Monday, May 22nd.
I wish it was Bon Scott.
Oh, why is that?
Because that's the original lead singer of AC/DC.
I knew it was going to be a musician, and you would know exactly who it is.
Now, that would be exciting, too. I would, if we could give away tickets to all my metalheads.
Love it,
To the, I guess, the resurrected Bon Scott.
Well, he's not going to be there, but Dr. Scott Bond is. And
I've just been thinking of that since, since I saw the name.
But that is the psychology of serial killers. I bet you that's going to be very interesting, especially with our true crime friends out there that go to these live shows and hear about this. So email us, team, T-E-A-M, at TexasWineAndTrueCrime.com, and tell us why you want the tickets. We will get on the microphone on Monday and pronounce the winner. Why not say their name out loud, right?
We will say it out loud, yes.
Let's do it. Tonight, we are sipping on Senso from Lavaca Bluffs Vineyard and Winery. Stay tuned for details about this wine and the delicious dinner Chris made during our wine recess. Okay, honey, are you ready to jump into this week's case?
Yep, let's jump in.
All right, friends, it's time to sip some wine and talk some crime. Now, Chris, we usually share three facts about the city that our crime takes place in. But Carol De Leon's body was found off of I-35 just outside of New Braunfels. So we are going to share some facts about New Braunfels. So let's go. Number one.
You know, I just realized, too, looking at these facts that...
I miss?
You didn't ask me any of the facts of New Braunfels, but...
Actually...
I have some good ones, too, but...
I know you do.
We'll save it for the next crime in New Braunfels.
Yep. I already knew you did, and I didn't want you, because I had already had these. Yeah, I didn't
ask
you.
Hiding them in secret.
Number one, the New Braunfels Brewery is best known for its Texas honey ale. And guess what? It is produced by Texas bees.
Really? The bees are making this honey ale?
Yes.
That's like cheap labor. It's got to be.
Made from honey produced by Texas bees.
Oh, the honey. I thought you meant the bees were making them.
Oh, my God. Maybe soon with all this AI stuff. Yeah. Number two.
High bees.
The Museum of Texas Handmade Furniture rests in the historic Brustet Dillon House. It's on there are on display exhibits of traditional furniture made by the Germans who settled in New Braunfels.
I bet that looks pretty cool.
I bet you that's pretty cool, too. Number three. Now, this is held annually in New Braunfels. The Lone Star Gourd Festival honors one of the most functional fruits. Not a popular menu item, gourds have historically been used as carrying vessels and painted on as art.
We'll have to pair some gourd with some wine then, since it's not so popular. We're bringing back gourd.
We are. All right, friends, there's your three facts.
Fascinating.
On April 13th, 2023, Larry Allen West received an unexpected surprise. After 42 years, the Texas Rangers show up at his home in San Antonio and arrest him for the murder of Carol Joyce De Leon. Her body was found off of I-35 right outside of New Braunfels. What happened to Carol Joyce De Leon? Okay, Chris. I was so happy to see Carol's case move to the solved tab on the Texas Rangers website.
Yeah, especially after so much time.
So much time. By the way, you can check out the current cold cases the Rangers are working on or those that have been solved by the Texas Rangers on their website. They have a website specifically dedicated to unsolved crimes, cold cases, and then they move them into the solved cold cases, which I love. That's where we want them to be. Now, if you Google search it, make sure to put Texas Rangers law enforcement. Otherwise, you will see our Texas Rangers baseball team pop up, which they're kind of newsworthy right now because they're doing so well. But literally, if you just put Texas Rangers, you get all baseball
stuff. Yeah, the Texas Rangers are way more popular on the Google.
Very much so. So make sure to put Texas Rangers law enforcement. I find that's better. Their website also is dps.texas.gov. They are doing some wonderful, wonderful things, including solving this case. All right. Well, it's solved, hon. It's solved. Good news. But as I mentioned earlier, Larry Allen West, now 68 years old, was arrested last month for her murder. And I was doing the math. He would have been 25 years old at the time of her death in 1981. So 7 years older than she was.
Yes.
Now let's travel back to June of 1981 in San Antonio, Texas. Carol Joyce De Leon was 18 years old. She had just graduated high school from Thomas Edison, right there in San Antonio, just days before her abduction and murder. Carol was last seen on June 3rd at a nightclub in San Antonio. The next day, Chris, June 4th, Carol's partially nude body was found on the side of Interstate 35, just outside of New Braunfels. Investigators tried identifying her through fingerprints, and they released a composite sketch to the local media, but nothing came from the broadcast. She is eventually buried and classified as a Jane Doe. So you have a girl that disappears on last seen on June 3rd. Her body is found the very next day in some brush right off the freeway. According to an autopsy report, Carol had been shot 6 times in the head. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
There was visible bruising around her neck. But honey, based on the autopsy report, there was no indication that she had been sexually assaulted. Carol had shared with her family that she was considering relocating and moving somewhere else since she had just graduated. She's 18. She's ready to experience new things. So when her family doesn't hear from her for a few days, they attempt to report her missing. However, no report was taken since she was 18 and foul play wasn't mentioned on that call to police. So her family didn't say she's in trouble, she's been kidnapped. They called and said, we haven't heard from her in a few days.
That's just how they did it back then.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, she's 18. Who knows? I don't know if they said anything about her thinking about relocating and moving. Right? If they would have mentioned that, excuse me, I need some water. They wouldn't have, they could have mentioned that to police and police could have thought, well, she may have just left on her own accord, right? She's 18 years old. So that's what police tell her family. Now, after that phone call, the family assumes that she just started a new life, that Carol took off, started a new life. Chris, it will be 26 years later in 2007 when her younger sister decided to pick up the phone again and report Carol missing.
I'm surprised that they waited that long.
One time in 1981 and then 26 years later in 2007. You know, I don't know. Is it because, now I don't know really anything about Carol's family. I know her sister is the one who eventually reported her missing. This is her younger sister. But I don't know. I don't really have the answer to that. They probably just thought she, and really honestly, if your child is missing and they're 18, you really hope they're living their life, right? I think maybe there was just that comfort in their heart knowing they didn't hear anything.
Well, 18 was different in 1981 than in 2023.
Very much so. Yeah.
You could disappear and go live a new life.
That's
a long time though. I mean, I just think like when, I mean, I go poop and you're already putting out an APB on me if you don't see me in the living room. So 26 years.
I'll be doing it for 26
seconds.
Oh my God.
Go away. Where's he at?
This is a total inside joke.
Buttercup, go follow him. Where do you sniff him out?
Yeah.
Phoenix, where's daddy?
So, yeah, I know. Missing. I'm always looking for you.
Yes.
Hey, I'm worried about you. We host a true crime podcast.
That's true.
All right. So 2007, Chris, that is when she is reported missing. Now, remember, her body is found on June 4th of 1981. But because she was not listed as a missing person and nothing came up when they ran her prints, she is eventually identified, like I mentioned, as a Jane Doe and buried. So now she's buried in the month of, I would say, what, late June, maybe early July. So a very long time. In May of 2008, just months after her sister files that report, the Texas Rangers Unsolved Crimes Investigation Program, UCIP, saw that there was only one missing persons report that matched the description of the teenage victim from 1981. Think about this, Chris. Her sister calls the police department in 2007. Police just happened to look in that file in May of 2008, and then they finally can see a report because the sister, I mean, that's the thing. None of this would have been most likely solved if she wouldn't have been identified first.
Yes.
Right? So they had to identify the Jane Doe because they don't even know what they're working with. They don't even know who this is. So because her sister made that phone call and reported her missing in 2007, they were able to see that report in 2008, which I just find, I mean, it's like timing, right? Timing is everything. Timing was everything for this. 27 years after she is murdered, the Texas Rangers confirmed DeLeon's identity through a photo provided to the family and DNA testing through the family. And now it's time for a wine recess.
Wine recess. All right.
Okay, before we jump into all the delicious food and wine, I want to talk about Texas Wine Club real quick, because this is where we're getting all of this amazing wine.
This is true.
They are offering 50% off right now, 6, 9, or 12 bottles. Literally, just pick your poison, 6, 9, or 12. So y'all run. Don't walk to the computer or phone, wherever you do your online shopping, and hop on that txwine.com and use the code CRIME or TRUE CRIME and get the finest Texas wines delivered right to your door, half off your first order. Honey, this is big.
Yes, we've had some great varieties from this endeavor. Really,
and we have
it.
So much more to share.
Yes.
So much more to share. So go support these wineries that are making all this wine and bringing it to the consumers. Go support Texas Wine Club. 50% off. You just can't beat it. TXWine.com. All right, honey. So we're drinking Senso.
Senso, yes.
And you paired what it does say on our card. We get these beautiful cards.
I did look at the card, but I did do a little research as well, too. I've never had Senso before. And interestingly enough, one of the dishes that kept coming up to pair with Senso was escargot. And I knew I wasn't going to make that, because who wants to eat escargot?
I like lobster cargo.
I know. escargot actually is pretty good. But it had a lot of interesting things to pair, and so I wasn't really sure. Even beef bourguignon was one that was mentioned. We've eaten so much beef and had a lot of red wines. I wanted to do a little fish dish, and so I chose to pair it with, made a kind of a baked salmon with a pesto and goat cheese mixture. I did make a spinach and basil pesto with substitutes walnuts instead of pine nuts. And then in lieu of Parmesan, I went with goat cheese and some mozzarella, because I believe this wine goes with soft cheeses pretty well. And then put a big old lump of goat cheese on top and a little lemon wedge and stuck it in the oven with some roasted tomatoes. I thought it was pretty good. I did look at my pictures, and so I did use quite a bit of pesto. I probably could have gone a little lighter on the pesto. It was pesto-y.
It was pesto-y.
Pesto-y.
But it was so good.
I over-pestoed. However, I thought it went very well. And then in addition to that, we did make a couscous, a mushroom and spinach couscous. And so I feel like the earthy tones of the escargot, I was bringing a little bit of that with the earthy mushrooms as well. But overall, I thought everything went really nice. The wine was very crisp, refreshing. As you mentioned, a good summer wine.
A great good summer chilled wine.
And so, but yeah, it was, because even in looking at it, I did see that Senso is used with a lot of filler and a lot of blends. And so it's not often, you know, the king of the castle, I guess you say, the only, mm-hmm. you know, the only grape used in a lot of wines, but very interesting mix. I mean, not mix, but a very interesting wine, and we enjoyed it.
Yeah,
very
we tasty. Really liked it. Your dish was perfect with it. And we always do, we like to do a lot of white wines, you know, cold wines, more refreshing type wine, because we are hitting those summer months. And this one was absolutely perfect. You need this.
Yeah, it's kind of lush and berry. Yes. I mean, it was, it looks like a rosé in appearance. However, it wasn't rosé. I don't know. How do you? I was thinking it was going to be a little bit more like that. And I don't know. I anticipate a little bit more sweetness. I thought I had a really good balance.
Great balance.
Light tannins and yes. Yeah. Very nice.
It was great. Lavaca Bluffs Vineyard and Winery. Chris, they are out of Lolita, Texas. Have you ever been there?
I have not.
So I looked. It is way south Texas. So we need to go. I've never been to Lolita. Over at Lavaca Bluffs Vineyard and Winery, their deep Texas roots, the owners of Lavaca Bluffs Vineyard and Winery aspire to honor the character, history, and heritage of the Texas Gulf Coast through their authentic wines. Senso was harvested September 17th, 2021, and pressed shortly after, creating a beautiful medium salmon color, fresh and juicy, with a harmonious overall impression, imparting very berry notes and strawberry and red cherries. Well, this was delicious. Thank you, Lavaca Bluffs Vineyard and Winery. People, friends, go see them and visit and tell them your friends at Texas Wine and True Crime sent you. All right, honey, are you ready to jump back in the case?
Yes, let's jump back into the case.
All right, let's do it. Before we took our break, Chris, we just mentioned that Carol was positively identified, even though it took 27 years. Her family now has a place they can go to visit. So now we've covered how Carol was identified. So now let's discuss how her murderer, Larry Allen West, was identified. Texas Rangers kept investigating this case. They were looking for answers. They, you know, they wanted to solve this case. It's on their docket. They don't have a lot on their website when it comes to these cold cases. It's the ones they are actively working, which is great to see. But in 2010, they came up with a DNA profile that was put into CODIS, and there was no match. So they took the DNA that was found on Carol's body, which was DNA found under the fingernails, which means the killer's profile in 2010 was not in the CODIS system.
Yes.
No DNA on file. In 2019, the Texas Rangers, so 9 years later after running this through CODIS, 2019, the Texas Rangers Division applied for and received, Chris, two grants from the U.S. Department of Justice and the Bureau of Justice Assistance. Now, the BJA's Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, called SAKI, S-A-K-I, if you want to look into it, these grants were received by the Texas Ranger Division and for the collection, this is what it's for, the collection and entry of lawfully owed DNA into the combined DNA index system, which is CODIS, and the investigation and prosecution of cold case sexually related homicides and sexual assault cases. To put all of that into a very easy way for people to kind of understand what this means. Basically, people owed DNA from being either from sexual assault cases or homicides, and they had never been swapped. Okay, they had never been swabbed, but they were either some sort of assault or there was something on their record and they did not have their DNA on file. Now, we're talking crimes that probably happened before DNA was actually really a DNA thing.
So they just got warrants to go swab all these people.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So in 2021, so that means Larry Allen West is on this list. He submitted a DNA swab in 2021. Now, once they ran his DNA against the unknown,
he had a past.
But he was not in CODIS at the time. So once they ran that DNA against the unknown DNA profile found under Carol's nails, Chris, it was a match. The odds of any other person being the contributor of that DNA, Chris, is 1 in 422 quintillion.
Quintillion.
Quintillion. Now, I think they've got their guy.
Sounds like a good first name, Quintillion.
Quintillion. Reminds me of Cotillion, which I went to as a kid. Mm. West is in custody on...
bragging or what?
Is that something to brag about?
Oh, she went to the cotillion. Did you?
West is in custody on a $125,000 bond and has been arrested for her murder. An indictment, Chris, and trial, of course, I'm sure that will be announced in the coming months. But he was just arrested, 4 weeks ago. So I know there is going to be a lot that comes out. Hopefully, I'm hoping he talks. I'm hoping he tells her family what happened. That's the thing. She was last seen at a nightclub. There were really no leads in this case. She went unidentified for a very, very long time. So this was a truly, truly cold case. So this is just amazing at what DNA can do. I love that they got these grants to get these people's DNA because it can do things like this and solve cases and crimes that they committed 30, 40, 50 years ago. So families, victims... families of victims, if you're listening, don't give up. Never give up. This is why, these kinds of things have to stay in the light, Chris. They have to stay in the light. Now, we don't know what happened, like I said. So hopefully we'll find out more since it was just about 4 weeks ago. But I'm going to tell you my theory since we just don't know yet.
Okay.
Knowing she was shot 6 times in the head, but not sexually assaulted. So to me, that shows overkill and rage. He's angry. Pow, 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 pow. Right. But he doesn't rape her. He's 25 years old at this time. Right. So he's 7 years older than her. He's not old and gross like he is today. And I think, Chris, he hit on her. Because she was gorgeous. She was absolutely beautiful. I will post a picture of her on our Facebook and Instagram pages. And I think she turned him down. I think he abducted her, attempted to sexually assault her, which is why she was found partially clothed. And I think she put up a fight. And he shot her out of anger 6 times because he couldn't subdue her. And then he decided he had to get rid of her, so he dumped her on the side of I-35.
That sounds plausible.
My other theory is she went with him willingly and didn't know really what she was getting herself into. But the problem with this theory for me is that there are no eyewitnesses that saw them together. But that's not to say their paths didn't cross somehow and then somehow they had some sort of interaction. But no, there were no eyewitnesses to say that she actually saw her with this guy. So those are kind of my two theories out there before... Maybe
strong theories.
Yeah, before we kind of hear, so was this a total stranger abduction and murder for, because I think it was sexually motivated. I just don't know if it was an introduction and she dismissed him or if he was sort of hanging out in the parking lot, right, watching for young girls leaving the club. I don't know. I'm willing to bet, that we might get close to that.
He probably was at the club that she was at.
Well, yeah, because he's 25.
San Antonio party.
Yeah, he's 25 years old. I mean, he's not like you said, he's not 68 then. He's 25. So he's hanging out with younger people. And yeah, so I'm kind of willing to bet he was scoping her out either in the place or outside the place.
Because in 1981, you only had to be 18 to go into bars and clubs and drink.
Oh, that's true. Forgot about that. I remember the good old days.
You don't remember those good old days.
I remember hearing about them. All right, babe. Well, that concludes.
I barely remember those good old days, and I was not even that old. So,
Well, honey, that's it. That concludes tonight's episode. So,
not old and gross, though. but
no, he's old and gross. I'm gonna post a picture of him.
I just said I'm old.
But oh, you're old definitely and, not old gross. And gross. No, he's gross. He's a monster. He did this how many years ago? And then he is on the hook for something else he did because they needed his DNA. I mean, who yeah. knows what kind of record and the things that this guy has been doing for out. The last 42 years.
All that will be coming out.
So I really hope so.
We'll be keep everybody updated.
If you want to see pictures related to this case, you can find them on our Instagram and Facebook pages. All right, honey, I want to highlight an organization tonight, and that is the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. I posted a link to donate to the cause in our groups, but I will make sure to add it to our main page. There are 30,000 people currently living with CF. CF is a genetic disease that currently has no cure and affects the lungs, the pancreas, and other organs. And we want a cure for this. And it's becoming near and dear to my heart because Phoenix's classmate has CF. And I think I hear his name about 5 times a day, Chris. I mean, this is one of her besties. I encourage you to dig deep in your heart and as deep as you can go in your wallet and donate to this cause. You can visit the CF website and find a chapter to support near you. And I will post the link in our Facebook pages so you can donate right there directly. You know, it's May, which is CF Awareness Month. So I know that there are people affected, families affected, and we want a cure. So please go to the CF website. Donate your time, donate your money. Just we need a cure. All right, honey. It's time for us to sign off. Until next time, friends, stay safe, have fun, and cheers to next time.
Cheers.